Picture Ashley, 29 years old. She just moved to a suburb she doesn't know, and there's a baby finally asleep upstairs. She's sitting on the couch with her phone, and she is doing the thing we all do when we feel alone. She's scrolling through people she can't reach. Everyone on her feed is somewhere else. The friends she had are scattered now. Different cities, different lives, moved on in the way that happens after your 20s split you all up. If she made a map of the people she could actually call on, right here, within 10 minutes of this house, it would be blank. Completely blank. Maybe your map looks like that right now. New city. Remote job. A place where everybody already seems to have their crew, and you weren't handed one when you arrived. So here's what I want you to hear before anything else. That blank map is not a verdict on you. It doesn't mean you did something wrong or that you're the kind of person who ends up alone. It means you haven't started yet. Zero is a starting line. This whole episode is about how you begin. Here's what the blank map is actually saying, and it's not what Ashley thinks it is. She thinks it means she has no people. But what it really means is that she's been counting the wrong thing. She's been measuring friendship, the deep, already formed trust built over years thing, and by that measure, yes, the map is empty. But book 3 says, start one step before that. Don't count friends. Count who's near, physically near. Near enough to knock on a door or wave from a driveway. Because those are two totally different lists, and only one of them is blank. Ashley doesn't know a single neighbor by name, but she's seen the woman two doors down out walking a stroller at the same time she is. She's noticed the same three cars always parked by the park on Sunday mornings. She's in a local app where there are 40 other parents asking about the same pediatrician. None of those people are her friends. But they are near. And near is raw material. Near is the thing that friendship is made from, before the friendship exists yet. Once you start counting who's near instead of who's already close, the map isn't blank at all. It's full of people who haven't become anything yet. That's not nothing. That's everything you need to begin. Now here's the thing that took me a long time to see, and it changes everything once you do. Ashley is waiting to get let into a circle that already exists. She's looking around for the group that'll notice her and pull her in. Maybe you're doing the same thing, scanning for the crew that has room for one more. But here's the truth. Nobody says out loud, for the people near Ashley, that circle doesn't exist yet either. The woman two doors down isn't in a circle. She's lonely in the exact same way. Newish suburb, a kid, the same scrolling through people who are far away feeling on a Tuesday night. The regulars at the park? Half of them are hoping someone will say something first. The parents on the app? They made a post because they didn't know who else to ask. Nobody is sitting in a warm, established group wishing Ashley would show up. There is no group. There are just people near each other who haven't started anything. That's a completely different situation than not being invited. It means the thing you're waiting to be let into doesn't exist yet, which means you can't miss it and you can't be left out of it. You can only be the one who starts it or the one who keeps waiting for someone else to. At this point, the idea of being the one who starts it probably feels a lot bigger than it should. You're picturing some kind of organized thing, a group, a gathering, a whole plan. Or you're picturing being the kind of person who's naturally good at this, who walks into rooms and makes friends easily, and maybe you're not that person. So I want to be clear about what Book 3 says starting actually looks like, because it is much smaller than you think. Starting doesn't mean throwing a party. It doesn't mean becoming an extrovert. It doesn't mean putting yourself out there in some big, loud, obvious way. Starting is one small, specific, real ask to one person. That's it. One ask, one person, one moment. Ashley doesn't organize a neighborhood block party. She sees the woman two doors down in the driveway and says, I'm taking the baby to the park at 10 on Thursday if you want to come. One sentence, one person, one thing to do at one specific time. She doesn't need to explain herself or sell the idea. She just makes the ask and lets it be whatever it is. Most people will say no or not answer, and that's completely fine. You only need a yes or two to have the start of something, but nothing starts without the ask. The ask is the whole move. So, not every ask is equal. Some asks land and some don't, and it's not about your personality or how charming you are. It's about whether the ask has three things in it. The first is that it's specific. Not, we should hang out sometimes, because sometime is never and everyone knows it. Something like, Thursday at 10, the park on the corner, come if you want, a time, a place, a thing to do, specific. The second is that it's low cost. It doesn't ask for a lot. It doesn't require the other person to show up and perform or be impressive or commit to anything. It's easy to say yes to, and it's even easier to leave without awkwardness. Coffee, a walk, the kids playing at the same playground. Low barrier. Easy in, easy out. And the third is that it gives something. This is the one most people miss. The best ask isn't just, do me the favor of showing ups. It's actually a small offering. I'm going anyway. Come with me if you want. I made too much of this. You should take some. I noticed you were asking about the pediatrician on the app. Here's who we use. The ask gives first. That's the thing that makes the other person feel good about saying yes and feel good about the whole encounter afterward. Specific, low cost, gives first. Three ingredients. They work every time the person you're asking has any warmth in them at all. Now I want to take the pushback seriously because it's a real one and it deserves a real answer. If you give first every time you ask, if your move is always to offer something before you ask for anything in return, isn't that just setting yourself up? Won't people take advantage? The friend who only ever receives and never gives anything back. The neighbor who accepts the meal and never says thank you. The coworker who takes your intro and never helps you with anything. Yes, those people are real. They exist, and pretending they don't is a kind of wishful thinking that gets good people into bad patterns. Here's the thing, though. Giving first at the ask stage? I'm going anyway, come with me. Costs you almost nothing when you're just starting out. A walk costs you nothing extra. A referral costs you nothing. You're not making yourself somebody's well at this stage. You're making the small gesture that says, I'm a giving person. This is how I am with people. What happens next is what tells you everything. If the person never puts anything back in over time, never remembers, never offers, only ever reaches in, that's the person you stop inviting. Not in a dramatic way, just quietly, you stop extending the ask. And here's the better version of the question, in the shape you're building, a circle where things are meant to go around. The person who only takes stands out quickly. You can see them. The shape itself tells you. So the answer to, won't people use me, is not, stop giving first. The answer is, give first, watch the shape, and let the shape do the sorting. Let me bring in something that should make you feel less alone in this, because I don't want you to think you're the only one sitting on a couch in a suburb feeling like the map is blank. Researchers who study how people form friendships in adulthood have found something that surprises most people. The number one thing that makes adults feel like they have no friends is not that they're unfriendly. It's that they moved or changed jobs or had a life event that scattered their old circle and they didn't know they were supposed to start over. Nobody told them that the friendships they had were built on a foundation of proximity and repeated contact. Being near the same people over and over, and that when the proximity ended, the friendships quietly stopped being maintained. The thing that built them in the first place went away, and the friendships went with it. So when people feel like they ended up alone, it's usually not a character flaw, it's a gap in the foundation. The thing that was holding the connection up got removed, and nobody ever showed them how to build it again from scratch. That's what this episode is about. Not your personality, not your worth, the foundation. And the good news is that foundations are buildable. You build them the same way they were built the first time. Proximity, repeated contact, and someone going first. So let's go back to Ashley. It's been 2 weeks since she moved in. She has done the inventory, the stroller woman two doors down, the dad she keeps seeing at the park, and three parents from the local app who asked the same pediatrician question she had. Three people who are near. She picks the stroller woman, least scary, most obvious. She sees her 3 mornings a week. And she makes the ask. She's in the driveway, the stroller is out, and she says, "I'm walking to the park at 9 on Wednesday. Come if you want." 6 words of invitation after giving something tiny. First, a smile, a wave, the walking by thing they've already established. The neighbor says sure, she comes. They walk around the park for 20 minutes, and they talk about nothing important. How long they've lived there, where they moved from, their kids' names. That's it. There's no big moment, nobody cries, nobody decides they're best friends. But on Friday, the neighbor texts, "Going to the park at 9 again, do you want to come?" She puts something back in. That's the jar beginning. Not because Ashley performed or impressed or said the right thing. Because she made one specific, low-cost, give-first ask, and the shape of what she started gave the neighbor a place to put something back. That dot on the map now has a line. The circle has begun. All right. Let's bring this to you, because it stops meaning anything. The second, it's only Ashley's story. So I want you to actually think about this, not just nod at it. First, who is near you right now? Not who you want to be near, not the people you miss who live far away. Who is physically close to where you actually are today? The building, the block, the workplace, the gym, the class, the park you walk by. Take 30 seconds and actually name 3. Don't reach, just near. Second, which of those 3 is the least scary? Not the most impressive, not the most obvious match, just the one who would cost you the least to approach. And third, what's one specific, low-cost, give-first ask you could make to that person? Think of something you're already doing that you could make room for one more person in, a walk you're already taking, a coffee you're already getting, a piece of information you already have that would help them. Be still a second. You probably already have a person and an ask half formed in your mind. That person is your dot. That ask is your line. The map is waiting for it. So here's your one thing this week, and it is a give, not a test. This isn't see if anyone will be your friend. This is put one thing into a jar that doesn't exist yet and see if someone puts something back. 2 moves. First, take the inventory. Write down 3 people who are simply near you, not friends, not people you need to impress, just near. The neighbor. The person at the coffee shop. The coworker you haven't really talked to. Someone from the app. 3 names, or even just 3 descriptions. Second, pick the least scary one and make 1 specific, low-cost, give-first ask this week. Not eventually. This week. I'm walking to the park at 9 Thursday if you want to come. I made too much soup. You want some? I heard you mention you're looking for a dentist. Here's who we use. 1 sentence. 1 person. 1 offer that gives something small before it asks for anything. That's it. You are not trying to make a best friend. You are putting a single dot on the map and drawing 1 line from it. Most lines won't connect to anything. Some will. One yes is enough to begin. Make the ask this week. So that's book three at its core. You are not friendless. You are unstarted. You have more near you than you think, and the thing you're waiting to be invited into doesn't exist yet, which means you can start it. The blank map is not a verdict. It's just a map before the first dot. Take inventory. Make one give first ask. Let the shape do the rest. The deeper how-to, all the ways to build on that first yes, what to do when the circle starts to form, how to make it last in a world where everything seems temporary, that's in the book when you're ready for it. Now, say you've made the ask and someone says yes. What do you do with that yes? How do you build a bond that actually holds in a world built to make things feel disposable? That's the last episode of this series, and it's the one I'm most glad we get to end on. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.